Tesla shapes up like this. In about 20 minutes, we're going to go to Baltimore, spend a few minutes with Jason Luch of the Albaugh Family Racing Stable, second leg of the Triple Crown this weekend, the Preakness, their horse, Country Freedom, Iowa owned. We'll get the scoop on, well, not from the horse's mouth, but from the owner's mouth, and see if there's any opportunity to cash a ticket this week. At 11:35, speaking of cashing tickets, we'll head to Las Vegas, catch up with Mike Palm, VP of Operations at Circus Sports, where I'm guessing our friend Jeff Benson was inundated with emails and text messages, and do I get a refund on Scotty Scheffler? You know, I bet him after all. I want my money back, blah, blah, blah. But we'll talk sports wagering with our friend Mike Palm. Then we'll give you an opportunity. No, in the second hour, we will give you an opportunity. Chris Williams, who was slated to join us, had something come up late, first thing this morning, so no Cyclone guest today. But we'll do the chicken coop giveaway at about 12:15, 12:20. Before Tom Kakert joins us, and he will talk some Hawks. Speaking of talking some Hawks, Beth Goetz will be in studio with Murph and Andy coming up during their show today. Not exactly sure when she'll be here, but she's scheduled to be in studio sometime between 1 and 3, talking to the boys and I guess answering questions, fielding some calls from you Hawkeye fans out there that may want to talk to the new-ish AD. Well, certainly thought we'd come in and talk about just how unwatchable the WNBA is when it comes to the Indiana Fever, and it's awful.
It is awful.
You can't watch.
No.
Now, I would watch the Aces and the Liberty play.
Those are two good teams.
Yeah. This Indiana team is, my God, are they awful, and Caitlin Clark has not been good.
No.
But we'll save that. Thought we might talk about the T-Wolves staying alive as they thumped the defending champs by 45 last night. We all saw that coming.
So yeah, just coasted into a 45
point. Unbelievable, game. Right? Up 50 at one point. And a game 7 in the offing. There's some great puck last night. Both of those games are outstanding. The Cubs tried to make it interesting, falling one run short. All those things, pretty good talkers, but they pale in comparison to what landed in our plate and everybody else's this morning. It was surreal. It was absolutely surreal watching, you know, the story. You turn on TV and it's breaking news. Oh, my God, Scheffler, you wonder what happened to him, right? You think the worst.
This story was just so crazy. So how did you consume it? Was it through Twitter?
No.
You got one of those update kind of things? That's what I got, like the ESPN update, like on their app.
Turned on ESPN.
That's what it was. Yeah. So you were getting it that way with Jeff Darlington. You talk about a guy that star rose a guy that's been ascending already.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get this
right
story.
Right place, right time. Had his phone with him. He was the one that got the video. And now, look, I'm pro cop. Pro cop.
Your family?
Family. I believe in the blue. I believe the blue got this one wrong in a major, major way here today. Because our hero, who jumped on the car to, I guess, save the city of Louisville from the danger that is Scotty Scheffler, who was just trying to pull into the gates of Valhalla.
Mm-hmm.
And then the statement that came out. This is the police statement. This isn't The Onion. But I want to read you the very last line.
Okay.
Well, I'll read you a couple of them. Detective Gillis. And where's the sentence start? Detective Gillip stopped subject and attempted to give instructions. Subject refused to comply and accelerated forward. What does that mean? 0 to 60 or a couple of miles an hour. He dragged Detective Gillis to the ground. Again, the detective, in an effort to save the city, Detective Gillis suffers pain, swelling, and abrasions to his left wrist and knee. Not sure if he would have went to the hospital had they, you know, that they not realized we might have messed up here.
Mm-hmm.
But he went there and he got checked out. But here's the last line. He was transported to the hospital for further medical treatment by emergency medical personnel. Detective Gillis's uniform pants, valued at approximately $80, were damaged beyond repair. Period. That's the end of the statement.
I didn't see that thing.
The Detective Gillis's uniform pants, valued at approximately $80, were damaged beyond repair. He'll never wear those pants again, Trent.
I'm at a loss for words, which is a bad thing on radio, but that got me.
Darren Revelle is in his car, beeline it to Louisville, trying to buy those pants.
Oh, oh my goodness. Really?
That's in the statement.
Louisville police.
Detective Gillis's uniform pants. God rest their soul. Valued at $80, were damaged beyond repair. No needle and thread will be able to bring those back to life. It's over for that pair of pants. He loved those pants. Most comfortable pants he's ever... He's worn these pants forever.
No more.
Now they're gone.
No more.
Because of the actions of one man, the number one man in golf, who you didn't recognize, as he drove in to the Valhalla Country Club, where the second... You know, the reason you were there.
So, I would love to see the body cam footage of this. And eventually, I'm sure we will.
Oh, we better.
Because the way that it is relayed and piecing this wild scene together. Scheffler's just trying to get to the golf course.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there's a tragic incident.
And that shouldn't be lost.
No,
I'm glad you brought that up.
Yes.
Thank you.
There was an accident. A pedestrian was hit by a bus and perished.
Yep.
He's still trying to get to work.
Mm-hmm.
Chaos, lights, ambulances, fire trucks. I'm sure it was one of those scenes.
And I think all the vehicles have courtesy car, written on them.
Yeah. And he is dragged out of his vehicle.
Yeah. And put in an orange jumpsuit and mugshotted in the orange jumpsuit.
If you're arrested, it happens to everybody, right?
Most of you, yeah.
Yeah.
And look, it happened to the former president, for God's sake.
Yeah.
And if he's not getting any special...
Yeah. And he didn't have a jumpsuit, but...
Didn't he? I thought he did.
I didn't think it was a jumpsuit. I think it... Regardless.
Yeah.
But he was there. And we get...
Right.
And the famous picture.
Right.
That came out of it. And Scotty, he's going to have a famous picture himself.
It's already shown up, apparently. There were pictures of some of the... They're not patrons now. That's only at Augusta.
That's only at Augusta.
They're fans now.
Yes. They're back to normalcy.
Right, being fans.
Right. This is
an all-timer.
A story that still feels like it has so many layers. What is the real story? What is the truth? Because...
Why do you jump on the car? You're going in the gates of Valhalla.
Right.
You didn't notice a gun on the front seat. You notice golf clubs in the back seat.
Right.
Okay, but that part I embellished. But you get my point.
What are you doing... To serve your community, as you said.
Yeah, to get this guy off the streets.
Even if he wasn't a golfer, he was just a fan. He was a member that got to get there early. Whatever it was. It was somebody that works in the wait staff. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
What possibly could be the thought process going through your mind outside of,
He's an eager beaver, Detective Gillis. Maybe that's how he rose to the ranks of detectives.
Yes.
Here's another thing, and I have not seen anything that will, and now if he did come out and play the card, then obviously I missed it. But at least at this point, I mean, if there was ever a time for anybody that gets in a bad spot to play the, do you know who I am, card?
Yeah, right.
Right? Do you realize who I am?
I'm the world number one golfer.
Right.
I just won the Masters.
Right. And apparently he must not have.
It didn't, certainly from the Darlington video.
Right.
You did not see that. He did ask Darlington for some
Which
help.
Which just goes to show the world, I think, the type of person we're dealing with here. A pretty good egg.
We're talking about one of the most boring golfers out there.
Without a doubt.
He just likes to hang out with his wife. Now he'll have the baby. And he is as milquetoast boring of a golfer is
although
your
he did take the green jacket after Augusta, he got home. He had to leave right away because wife and they showed up at a bar with his buddies.
Yes, little hole in the wall bar down the street.
Let
that
his,
was good.
Let his hair down a little bit. But you're right. He's boring, Trent.
In comparison to most any other golfer.
Not flashy. None of that kind of stuff. The last guy on the tour that you would think would be in this spot this morning.
Yes. If this was Rory. Can see it.
Mm-hmm.
If this was, the Young Guns, JT and Ricky and all those, that group, of course. And maybe he went back home, went back to his room, his house, wherever he's staying this week, watched some film.
Yeah.
Called the wife.
Mm-hmm.
Went to bed.
Yep.
That's
how he is.
He's boring. And then we have this. There are so many extra layers, as I mentioned, to this story.
I can't wait to see it all unfold, Trent.
Exactly. And yet he goes out there.
Mm-hmm.
First shot, just fades a little bit to the right after getting not nearly the time on the range he normally would. Has a miraculous second shot to put it tight and gets a birdie. He's Scotty Scheffler.
Yeah, nothing just phases him, right?
He was arrested hours earlier.
Yeah. And incarcerated and had to be the owner of Valhalla. By the way, how would you like to own Valhalla?
That was my thought exactly, right? Too. There's somebody that owns that golf
I just
course?
Would have thought that, Louisville must own it,
yes,
right? But no, some dude owns it. Yeah. And went and bailed him out or got him out of jail. Just as bizarre a story. This is a story here in the sports. I don't care what happens.
Yeah.
When we get to, we're killing segments in December waiting for a bowl game or whatever, this will be one of the stories of the year in the world of sports.
I don't think there's any doubt about it. And he's out there right now. Had a birdie early, a bogey, another birdie. He just hit a bomb. I mean, he had an orange jumpsuit on a couple hours ago.
That's right.
An orange jumpsuit.
Yeah.
And I'm watching the highlights right now as they're playing on ESPN Plus.
You know what? It would be funny in a way. Kind of a troll in a way, and I'm not sure that if it was a live player, maybe they would do this. But can you imagine if Ricky Fowler wears his orange today?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I could see that.
I mean, wouldn't you just to lighten the mood if nothing else, if Fowler shows up on the first tee wears orange all the time.
Yeah, the all orange get up with the orange pants
because he's a Oklahoma State Cowboy.
Oh man, I would love to see it.
Oh, I'd love to see it too.
It's rainy conditions out there today.
Apparently for the rest of the weekend.
Yeah.
Tried to get Matt Rudy to come on. He could not join us, unfortunately, to do so on such short notice. But
I'm sure he's got a lot going on.
Yeah, just a wild, wild story, right? One that I can't wait to see it play out.
This is
a felony charge, apparently, from the trying to elude or the assault. Paul Parisek, 5-0, is going to join Sean at, I don't think Heather's off, in fact, I know Heather's off today.
Oh, okay.
But Paul is going to join Sean at 3 o'clock just to, go over the charges, et cetera, what it means. I think that this escalated to a point that it had no business getting to, and it did, I hate to try and get in a Monday morning quarterback the cop's mind.
Yeah.
Right? But to feel that you had to jump on this car to avoid this escalating any further. Come on. Come on. Just didn't rob a bank.
The charges, too. So I asked because I wondered how you kind of got the information. So I got this alert. And the first thing that I see is he was arrested and just kind of skimming through it. And just up, got the kids running around. Like, what in God's name is going on here? What is happening to Scottie Scheffler? So I read the charges. Second degree assault of a police officer.
That's the felony, I think.
Third degree criminal mischief. Reckless driving. Discarding traffic signals from an officer directing traffic. Those are the charges against him. As you said, the assault charge is the felony. The others are misdemeanors. And not having everything kind of in front of me, was he out late last night? I thought it was, he was at a bar. Something happened with an officer there, or he was driving. It was an OWI situation. Mm-hmm. That's the way that it was going down. That's kind of initially, as I'm getting these charges first before anything else, that's kind of where I was. And then you see, no,
and you read it's not that at all, Trent.
It's not even close to that.
Not even close.
It's not even close to that. Just wild. Your mind is swimming, and you're exactly right. I think this is going to be something as more and more information comes out. Sometimes the truth is
well, as you said, I want to see the camera. Now it's dark. I don't know if the cameras pick up under the cover of darkness, but we're going to find out. Anyways, oh boy, one of these days. All right, so let's move on. I guess we'll spend a couple of minutes on the fever. I tried, Trent. I tried.
You flipped on Channel 5.
I flipped on Channel 5. It's just unwatchable. This is a terrible team. Mm-hmm. You know what it feels like? It feels like I'm watching a bye game in November. It does, right?
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, absolutely.
It's just an overmatched team taking on a really good team. And I will, this crossed my mind as well. You know who enjoyed the late night maybe as much as anybody last night? Breonna Stewart.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You saw some smirks in there, didn't you?
Good God, she's something, isn't she? Wow. Could she play? But I want to watch that team play Las Vegas before I come up with a definitive opinion. Is this worth tuning in for? Because I can't watch the Indiana Fever. And these two teams, they play again tomorrow at noon.
They do.
On ABC.
What they were hoping was going to be a monster
massive number.
And now after this?
No.
Maybe some people that haven't seen the first couple of games. It was ESPN2 and then Amazon, if you uh-huh. want our market or Indiana's market, and a few others. Maybe people just want to see it, but boy, you have the coach questioning her toughness a little bit afterwards. Sides of the name of the coach, Christy Sides.
Yeah. Christy Sides not long for the sidelines.
I don't think so. We said it after game one. What are they doing? You know, you got a Corvette and you're driving like an Oldsmobile.
Yeah, maybe it's just they
playing her off the ball.
I know. Maybe they want to, you know, make her pay her dues, not make it too easy on. But this is your own team we're talking about.
Yes.
But it's unwatchable. It's terrible. Caitlin Clark is experiencing something that she, I'm guessing she's never had any adversity in the game of basketball, or very little. Mm-hmm. And when that adversity has come her way, she's holding up her end. She's pulling her share of the rope. It's, you know, just teammates not being able to drag along with her. But this Indiana team has just, they can't make baskets to save their lives.
No, they don't have anybody that can score on their own.
I mean, even Aaliyah Boston is not good.
She's not. She's been a disappointment.
Terrible.
Thought you were going to see uh-huh. her come in and Caitlin with the ball. And then she just.
And when is Vegas going to catch on? Because right now, Trent, this is easy money.
Oh, absolutely.
The number was 8, the first, where there wasn't 8 both games?
It was, yeah.
And they're getting bludgeoned? I mean, this is a gift from the sports bettors. You don't need a sign-up bonus. Just bet against the Fever.
Free money.
You're home free.
Coming in every single right? time. Can it be turned around? Caitlin's going to get better, but that supporting cast, they stink. And, you know, becoming a newbie into WNBA, and I've watched a little bit more than you, but not a ton. I'm not going to sit here and think that I was breaking things down because we're in football season by the time the playoffs get there.
Right.
However, I have watched it from time to time. The physicality that they play with, it's not a fun brand of basketball. It isn't. I don't like that. It feels like mid-90s NBA.
Yeah.
Where it's just clutch and mm-hmm. grab and the athleticism and the inability to have many shot makers out there. It's just not a fun brand of basketball to watch.
It doesn't even come close to the college game.
No.
It doesn't. Whether Caitlin Clarkson playing it or not, mm-hmm. it's just not good. It's not fun to watch. I mean, if you're, and I don't feel bad for these people by any means, but if you're a secondary ticket broker and you bought all these tickets, please.
Well, that was the case last night. Did you see the get-in price?
Yeah, it was
sold out.
A face value.
$4. You can get in $4 in the upper deck. That was with fees. Yeah, some of those ticket brokers are going to.
Oh, boy. She's still a draw. Look, Atlanta just moved from a 3,500-seat arena to a 20,000 or 17,000 arena. Mm-hmm. Washington, we already knew, did that. The Aces moved from the Mandalay Bay, where the best team in the WNBA plays. They're taking that to T-Mobile because the Fever are in town. It's terrible. It's brutal, brutal, brutal. It's unwatchable, and I didn't think we would be here. I hope it gets better. I thought that, you know, selfishly, okay, this is a pretty good one for mm-hmm. May, June, July. This won't be bad to follow along with this league and this sport, but that's not the case. Jason Luch coming up here momentarily. We'll spend a couple of minutes on the Preakness with Jason. For those of you so inclined, second jewel of Thoroughbred Racing's Triple Crown, his horse Country Freedom, the Albaugh Family Stables Country Freedom, is going to be a participant and a big one. You would think, anyways. I think he's got a big chance. Let's get, the baseball. Benny wants to talk about the WNBA, and here he is. Hello, what's up on your mind, brother?
I shut it off at halftime, Jim.
You made it further than I did.
Well, here's the thing. I've followed women's basketball. I'm probably one of the bigger women's basketball fans on this station from late 90s till now. I've watched a lot of women's games. The problem with, they're terribly coached. For one, you're asking to integrate the best player that everybody thinks is the best player and asking her to play a position that she's not familiar with. This is arguably the worst team she's ever played on.
Going back to
her high school days.
Yep, has to be.
Okay, it might be the most talented team because they're all in the NBA, but from a team standpoint, they are awful, and their coach is terrible. Now she's questioning the toughness. You want to run yourself out of a job? Just keep criticizing Caitlin Clark. She's your meal ticket. What are you doing? Like, the woman has no clue. I don't. Why is she just sticking her 30 feet off the ball? And I don't know what offense they're running.
No.
Is it motion? What are they running, Trent?
There's no sets. There's no motion. There's no continuity to it. It is bad basketball. She's got to be done.
Benny, got to move on. Appreciate the call, brother. Thanks for chiming in. Yeah, it's bad. Let's get to Jason Lutz. He's in Baltimore, where the Preakness Stakes will be run tomorrow, the second jewel of the Triple Crown, and catching Freedom number 3, 6-1 in the morning line. And Jason joins us. Jason, Trent, and Ken, thanks for coming on. I was shocked that we're talking to you here today. I did not think that Catching Freedom would wheel back in 2 weeks. I guess first question, what was behind the decision to come back as quickly as you did with Catching Freedom, who ran a heck of a race in the Derby? And I remind you, you're about 20 feet from winning back-to-back Kentucky Derbies, and I don't mean to throw salt in the wound when I say that.
Thanks a lot, Ken. I was just getting over that. Yes, I appreciate it.
Go ahead.
You're probably as shocked as I am about running tomorrow. You know, it wasn't even really on our radar. I didn't talk to Brad until Monday or Tuesday after the Derby, and he says, "What do you want to do?" And I said, "Well, ultimately, it's up to the horse. How's he doing? Is he feeling good?" And he's like, "God, he came back really good." He goes, "It's not my style to run back in 2 weeks, but let's give it a few days and see how the field plays out, and then see how he's doing." And all honestly, we listened to the horse. He came back. He's been really aggressive, really feeling good, eating all of his food, and training really, really well. And so the bottom line is that we just thought it was an opportunity to run in the Triple Crown race. Mm-hmm. The Preakness is very prestigious. They're only 3-1 time, and so this is an opportunity for Catching Freedom to make history and potentially win this thing. And it goes bottom line, if you can't win it, if you're not in it. And so we felt like it's going to be a smaller field, and let's take a shot. And I hope we make the right decision tomorrow. It could backfire on us, and you might come out of it and said, "Oh, we wish we went to Rand." But I really feel good about our decision. I think he's training really good. He's looked good in Baltimore all week, and we're real, real excited for tomorrow.
Big opportunity in front of it, and scratches have also been a big conversation piece here. What does that do to the field in your mind, not only just making it smaller, but also what many people believed was the betting favorite not going to be there?
Yeah, obviously, Baffert had two horses in the race, and both had the same running style, so it's been really hard for us as a team to really dissect and dig into the race as far as the race shape, because the negative on the race is that there's not a lot of speed in the race. And so both Baffert horses showed speed. So we know that Bob's other horse is going to go to the lead, and we just hope and pray that he gets in competition at the front end, because we're going to need some soften the fractions up a little bit. But we do know that we're going to be a lot closer with 8-horse field. He's going to break sharp tomorrow, and I think we'll be within, 4 or 5 lengths on the backside, and that'd be ideal. And I really think that, he wants to get the distance, and he'll make a strong push home, and I just hope it's really good enough tomorrow.
So I want to go back to the first Saturday in May, midway through the far turn, where Catching Freedom was following the winner in Mystic Dan. Was there a time, Jason, you thought, "Oh, my God, we're going to win this thing"? I certainly did watching him when he was gearing up, right?
Yeah, we around the 3/8 pole, coming around the final turn, we all stood up out of our chairs and we're saying a lot of words and screaming and jumping up and down. And we really thought we had a chance, and honestly, he did have a chance. He just couldn't get to the winner, but he was a length and 3/4 back, and Flavian got off the horse and said, "God, I hate to tell you this, because coming around the turn, I thought I had the winner in the Kentucky Derby." And wow. I said, "Oh, I did too. So it was real exciting. That's the thing that you dream of in this sport, is to have that opportunity to get there. And we had it, and we just came up a little short. But man, it was a great thrill for us and our family. And I hope that we get to do it again. But all things to it, we got to get to Saturday, and this would be a special moment for us if we can win this thing.
A lot of conversation that I hear, being an outsider in this sport, is that the calendar anymore, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work for the way that horses are trained, and that there needs to be more separation between the Triple Crown races. Are you an old school guy, or would you be open to the idea that we need to add a little bit more space between the three big races?
I'm old school. I like how it is. It is what it is. They've done it for 150 years. I just don't think you can change it. It wouldn't mean as much to me as if a Triple Crown winner would happen to win, if they start moving the races back. I just think it's important that we keep the history the way it is, and I'm all for changing a lot of things, but in the Triple Crown, I'm the way it is good, and it's been done. We've had in the last 10 years, we've had a couple of Triple Crown winners, and so I know it can be done, and so I'm fine with the system.
Do we have a triple crown threat this obviously Mystic Dan would have to win. When you look at the Derby winner on the track in the morning, or if you've watched any of the videos, what do you see out of the Derby winner? How does he look?
Oh, absolutely. He looks great. He came out of the race in good shape. You know, Kenny McPeak's honestly had one of the best weekends of all time for a trainer in the Kentucky Oaks and Kentucky Derby winner. Have tremendous respect for the horse. You know, he ran a huge race. I hope it was so big that he maybe does a little bounce and comes back a little bit. We ran against him in the Smarty Jones in January at Arkansas and beat him by 7 lengths. So I know we can beat him. It's you know, it's a lot about the race shape and the setup, but tremendous respect for him. Chad Brown's got a quality horse, and you obviously got Bob Baffert and Dwayne Lucas. It's because it's a quality field. But I think we're going in with a big, big shot, and Brad's really excited. Brad wouldn't send the horse there unless he was doing well, and that's not his style to run in 2 weeks back. So a lot of things point towards us. We got a great jockey. I'm real excited, and just hope we get the right race set up.
Tuscan Gold, the horse that you guys, Catching Freedom, outran in the Louisiana Derby. He didn't have enough points to get in the Derby. He's kind of caught my eye a little bit. Chad Brown's Tuscan Gold. Is he a big threat, do you think?
That's the biggest threat.
Yeah, me too.
Just the connections. He's a gun runner. You know, they want to run all day long. He's improving a young horse. Very, very much scary. We barely beat him in the Louisiana Derby. And so tremendous respect for Chad Brown, tremendous respect for that horse. He's going to be tough to beat. But I know we can beat him. It's just, you know, it comes back to who gets the better trip. And we're due to get a good trip and a good setup, and I just hope we can get it done tomorrow.
Rain tomorrow in Baltimore, have you heard, Jason?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. I'm trying not to look at the weather because I really would like to enjoy the day and have a great day at the Preakness. But that doesn't sound great, but we'll make do. It's only supposed to be high like 65 or 67 degrees tomorrow. So it's going to be a different day, but I'm excited to be there. We're excited. We think we got a live shot, and can't wait to get in the gate and see what happens.
Good luck, my friend. Wishing you the best. Oh, talk to you soon.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it. Jason Luch, part of the Albaugh Family Racing Stable. They are their horse number, I want to get the number right, is it four? It is three. Number three, Catching Freedom. Three, Catching Freedom. I like the eight.
You like the eight, Just Steel?
No, Tuscan Gold.
Oh, Tuscan Gold. Sorry about that.
Tuscan Gold. Jason likes some.
That scratch threw me off.
Yeah, with Muth being out.
So, with Baffert not being there, Muth would have been, though, a Derby horse, is that right?
Yes, he would have been in the Derby.
And would have been one of the top horses?
Yes.
And now, sickness? Is that what it
was? He had a fever.
Had a fever.
Yep, spiked the fever.
Interesting. It's such a weird sport.
It really is. So many ways. You just hold your breath and hope that they can get in the gate.
I heard the Mystic Dan trainer, and he was talking about how they go through and they have to check their lungs afterwards to make sure there's no mucus in there.
Blood, mucus,
that kind of thing. I just
scope them is what they refer to it as.
What an interesting sport.
An expensive sport as well.
Yes.
All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll try to help you with some of your expenses. Yes, we've got some bonus bucks or an opportunity to win some. Win at KXNO.com. Your chance to win $1,000 in this nationwide contest. 11:30. Speaking of winning, Mike Palm from Circus Sports will join us next. It's Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back to Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Again, the keyword win. Win your chance to win $1,000 in this nationwide contest. Another opportunity in 1 hour. Let's head to Las Vegas, where we will see if there's any winning going on this weekend. And Mike Palm joins us from Circus Sports. I'm guessing that there is no house rule regarding a future ticket on a golfer that may be incarcerated and can't make his tee time. Mike, that's one of the crazier stories in sports, period, right? Just an all-timer.
Yeah, shocking. I was up early this morning, and it's the first thing I read when I got up, and then started watching TV, the coverage of it, and following on Twitter. And I mean, unfortunately, you know, if you had bets on him, you're out of luck. I mean, he teed off yesterday and he's a live player in the tournament. If you had bet second round matchup bets, they would be refunded should he had not have played, obviously.
Gotcha.
Right.
Yep.
But only a second round matchup bet, any future on him or any bet, live bet that was made since the tournament teed off are all action.
So are you upside down on Scheffler? Was there a lot of pre-tournament money on the world number one?
You know, I just asked Jeff Davis about 10 minutes ago for the updated list, and we went okay to him. The big two losers for us are Rory and Brooks Koepka. Otherwise, we're okay. We're small losers to a few people and decent winners to most. So Schauffele is a big winner for us. Scheffler is a decent winner for us. We really, really, McIlroy and Koepka are the only two bombs there.
What did you guys see, if anything, on Tiger? It's one thing at the Masters with obviously the course history here. We don't have the same with the PGA Championship. Were a lot of people investing? Were people fading? Did you see much action on Tiger Woods?
So I went back and looked. The yes, no to make the cut, right, which is by far the popular bet. At the Masters was 8 times more right than it was this week.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, the golf course, is it just people starting to, not play them? I will say this, Mike, and we talked to Trent, and I brought this up yesterday. You guys at one point had top 20 Tiger. What it was 19-1. Meanwhile, at Brand X, one of the big brands, it's 7-1. I mean, that just goes to show you how you price golf and why you're just crazy if you're betting golf anywhere but Circa. You're hurting yourself and your opportunity to help your pocketbook. That's crazy, the disparity in numbers.
It is, and I mean, if you went through, let's say there's 100. Well, there's more here, right? There's much more, but let's say there's 120 golfers. You could take the odds on 100, these 120, and let's say shop around the next 5 books or the 5 biggest books. I bet you combined at those 5 books, you won't find 20 better prices on a golfer out of what would be 600 different options, right?
Crazy. Say it all the time. If you're betting it, why do it anywhere else? Well, are you done with the golf, Trent?
Yes, yeah.
NFL schedule comes out, Mike. What, if anything, did you... I know you've got lines out already for week number one, but when it comes to the contest, Millions and Survivor, when you saw that, did you have to make any adjustments? Obviously, you saw that there's a couple of games on Christmas. There is a Thursday game, so I'm going to assume that will be its own separate week.
Oh. Well, you know, that's what I assumed, too, and that's what I had told Jeff Benson to write into the rules. And then, you know, we had a conversation with Derek Wednesday night, and he said, do we really need to put the Thursday game with the two Christmas games? I said, and Jeff and I were both very adamant, yes, you do. I think if you had a standalone week of only 2 games, and there's the overlap of those teams with Christmas and Thanksgiving as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then I think that it would actually hurt entries. I think there would be people that say it's just too damn tough if it's going to come down to just 2 games. You want to keep a 3-game window, so that's what we're going to do there. We'll add that Chicago-Seattle Thursday game that follows Christmas on the 26th as part of that window.
Anything else as it pertains to the schedule that threw you guys for a loop, or at least led to a conversation about what you were going to do for certain weeks?
No, we had to talk about in Christmas. Where are we going to put the lines out for Millions? Because those Christmas games start the next week. Mm-hmm. They're not the end of a previous week. So traditionally where we would put them out at 10 a.m. Pacific on Thursday on a normal week, the Millions lines, the Survivor's irrelevant, but the Millions lines like on Thanksgiving come out at 10 a.m. on Wednesday. For Christmas, we'll have to have them out at 10 a.m. on Tuesday. One thing that was a little surprising, and I thought the NFL might try to shy away from the Saturday games against the 3 college football playoff games, and maybe they would play on Friday instead when there's only 1 night game, and they didn't. They went right up against the college football playoff. I was just a little surprised by that. Not that it's a factor in our contest. I just thought it was a little quirk in scheduling.
And I even thought they went one step further because they're putting their number one asset, and I got to believe that's the Chiefs, not the Cowboys anymore with Mahomes. Yeah. They're putting him on that Saturday. They're putting him on Christmas Day. They're putting him on Black Friday for the first time ever, a Friday game going up against the college football games.
Yeah.
I don't want to say they're exploiting the Chiefs, but boy, oh boy, they're using their muscle, which is the Chiefs, are they not?
They are. Paul asked me, is the NFL gotten too big for itself, where they're making these moves? I don't know about that. You know, the one thing I'm passionate about is I think these international games are bad overall. You make these teams travel. They have effect coming off the travel. To me, the perfect example is going to Brazil with the Eagles and the Packers. Guys, there's 22 million people in Sao Paulo. It's the 4th largest city in the world, the largest city in the Southern Hemisphere, and they're playing it in the ninth largest soccer stadium. What does that tell you? I talked to people in England. The Jaguars have played there for a decade. They play there every year. They've picked up no interest. There's no following of the Jaguars in England. I think we're silly. I know they want it to be a global game and sell more jerseys and all of this, but I think we're silly to think that we're just going to take football all over the world.
Big, big opportunity to try to grow the sport, but the alienation of the fans, too. I mean, we keep eating it up and eating it up, and now we have Netflix, the latest that joins in here. It just, it goes on and on, but there has to be a breaking point at some point with the NFL, doesn't there?
The thing about putting it on all these streaming services is that you make it hard for the average American who's making $50,000 a year with a family to afford all these different subscriptions. You know, you used to be able to watch every game for your $28 a month you spent on Cox or Group W Cable in Dubuque or what, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And now they got a this and this. It's good for us because people that don't have Netflix will come to the book to watch because we show everything. But it's not good for Joe Average.
Do you guys, you don't have to go through Netflix, do you or do you?
No, we have to get a subscription.
To Netflix?
And Amazon Prime and all that. That's we have all to right. buy those subscriptions. And Peacock, we have to buy all those corporate and they're corporate subscriptions. In order to show those things.
Because do they charge you by the capacity? Is that how it works?
Yes, wow. By the fire code capacity.
So if it's saying, I don't know what it is, I'll just say if it's 500, but you only have 100 people in there, you have to pay the tax on the 500, right?
We pay as if there was standing room only, yes.
Wow. Stadium swim as well?
That's a little bit of a gray area.
Okay.
we like gray areas from time to time. Mike, if you don't mind us asking, I mean, can you ballpark what a cost of something like that would be? I mean,
the whole year for NFL.
Yeah, I mean, $13.99 a month for Netflix. Okay, we get a lot of things out of it, and the kids really enjoy it. That's one thing at home. For you guys, your capacity is a little bit different. Can you ballpark it for us?
It's not five figures, but close.
Oh.
How much is your monthly electric bill in this July? Air conditioning going constantly. That's got to be five figures a month easily, doesn't it?
Oh, between the three properties, it's close to $250,000 a month.
A month just to cool them.
Yeah.
Holy mackerel. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Real quick, Mike, what are you seeing in hockey? You know I got to pick your hockey mind. I enjoy doing it each and every Friday. What have you seen? Who's the best team you think alive? Are we headed to Panther Stars?
Well, that's what I said 5 days into the playoffs. I thought, and this is when Stars tied Knights 2-2. I said, I think it's Panthers over Stars in the final. I have to tell you, though, that is a horrific loss in Game 5 for Dallas.
Yeah.
To give up a goal with a second left.
Half a second.
The half a second, and then again on a dumb penalty at the end of the second. That's a game they were in control. They should have finished the series.
Yep.
They're still the better team. They played two perfect road games, but it's disappointing. Still Ottinger, just not what you think he was going to be. I really believe the Panthers are the best team. The series between Vancouver and Edmonton, whoever wins there is not coming out
nope.
of the West.
Nope.
It'll be Colorado or Dallas, which I said 3 months ago that the winner of the Central Division will represent the West. There's no way a Pacific team is coming. And I've seen nothing to dissuade me from that opinion.
You're 100% right. I see it the same way. Meanwhile, what will we see on Sunday night? I mean, a Game 7, the defending champs, Anthony Edwards. This got to I got to think you're going to be really busy, don't you?
You know, it's funny because the ratings on the Knicks games are all bigger than the ratings on this series. Who can figure this series? I'm done trying to figure it out. I think Adam Silver, history will write, that he had a big hand in determining who the champion was, because how could Murray not get suspended for Game 3?
Agree with you 100%.
I mean, that's totally ridiculous. You have to. I don't care if he's a star. You can't throw stuff out on the court. It's absolutely ludicrous. So I don't know what to make of it. I mean, if you held a gun to my head, you got to take the champs at home, right? Mm-hmm. But you could make the argument the winner of this series will win the NBA title, although I've been very impressed with the Mavericks, the way they're playing defense in the playoffs.
Got a better chance, I think, against whoever comes out than OKC with their lack of size inside. I think that's a problem against either Denver or Minnesota. WNBA, Caitlin Clark had her debut. Talking to some of the Illinois crew, they had a ton to say. I know there was a lot of props that you guys had, a lot of money on those props with Caitlin Clark. What you've seen two games in the WNBA, and not just the Caitlin Clark games, has it generated more interest in some of the others?
Well, yeah, but forget Caitlin Clark. I'm just telling, from a betting perspective, don't try to get yourself involved in her points, rebounds, and just fade this team until the market catches up.
Awful. You're right.
This team, I said New York would win by 30 last night. I watched that entire game against Connecticut. I mean, Iowa, competitively to the Big Ten, so far superior. This team is awful.
Terrible.
There's no other girl that can create her own shot. I mean, they've got her handling the ball because nobody else can. They are really, really, really bad. And the lines are so far off because of her right now.
They really are. You guys, are some of your players taking advantage of those numbers?
Yeah, well, we saw that game move. I mean, that game went from 6.5. I think we closed at 9.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, the game was over for 4 minutes in.
It was.
You knew. I mean, they were up by 9 right away. There's no shot. And this team, Indiana, they can't run. They can't put a run together. I mean, have they scored 6 consecutive points in either of the two games?
I'm not sure.
That is awful. It's hard to watch. I want to watch her, but it's hard to watch. Meanwhile, congratulations to Lisa Bluter. Very good timing. Exit stage left.
Yes. No, she did the right thing. Absolutely. Yep. Mike Palm, VP of Operations at Circus Sports. Mike, have a great week. Thanks for doing this as always. We'll talk with you next
week.
Yes, sir.
Kenny, who you got in the Preakness? I need a horse.
You came to the right place. I like the 8, Tuscan Gold. Lightly raced, Chad Brown, Tuscan Gold.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, see you, pal. It's good to talk to you. Mike Palm, VP of Operations at Circus Sports, as we head behind the counter with our buddy Mike. Can't wait to see him in person, which we will do, and for Big 12 Media Days.
Is the media, registration open yet?
I don't think so. I'm trying to figure out when Iowa State. Will they be Tuesday or Wednesday?
Right.
Because if they're Wednesday, I'm not going to go to Monday.
Mm-hmm.
If they're Tuesday, I want to spend one night with my son.
Gotcha.
You
can do it afterwards, too.
Yeah, but I can't be away from Jet and Mama.
Jet comes first.
Well, he's a two-person dog.
He's
needy.
You created this thing.
I know, and if I had to do it again, I would do it the same way.
You love your little
bugger. I do. I almost brought him to work today, but I didn't. One of these days. Bring your dog to work day. Yeah, I had that on my bingo card at 65, let alone working at 65. But here we are. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Miller and Condon, welcome back to Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Final 5 minutes of hour number one, hour number two. We will talk to Tom Kaker. We'll give four of you an opportunity to win some grub from the Chicken Coop, and then Trent's plays of the day. If the Timberwolves go on to win the championship,
yes,
if, and it's a big if, will the timeout that was taken at 9-2 be remembered as one of the most critical timeouts in the history of the playoffs?
That's a really good point.
They went on a 24-2 run after that, Trent.
They did, and I saw at one point as they had ballooned the lead up to a 40-some, the run that they were on since that moment, until what it was at that point is like, I don't know, 96-41 or something like that. Just absolutely ridiculous. It's not a bad point. I had this for you. So, game seven. All right, first game seven for Anthony Edwards. That's going to be big. There's nothing that can happen in this game that's going to diminish, I don't believe.
The T-Wolves season?
No, I was, as a whole. Jokic, he's fine.
Right.
Three-time MVP.
Oh, okay.
Already has a championship.
Mm-hmm.
But for Minnesota, if Ant has a bad game,
no chance.
It's a young guy in his first game seven.
Uh-huh.
He's going to get there. Who is this the biggest game seven for on the T-Wolves roster? Who is this most important for? I don't think it's Ant. That's where I was leaning. I think we saw him. He wasn't great last night in terms of scoring. It wasn't one of the monster performances that we can see out of him. But he was doing some of those little things. Just the things that you don't always see from him. Rebounding hard. Making the right pass. Now, Connelly being out there also helps that. Be able to swing the ball around. But that's what I came up to. Because if you get a clunker here in Game 7, Ant's great again.
Mm-hmm.
Gobert's doing his thing and at least slowing down at minimum what you see from Joker. If Cat has that game, if suddenly, well, the question I asked Dane Mizutani yesterday, is he potentially on his way out with the poor one? I think the most pressure of anybody in this game
is on Carl Anthony Towns. I agree with you. Yep.
That's exactly where I was going. Yeah, we're on the same line at that one.
McDaniels has to have a big night, but it's Cat. It's Cat.
And McDaniels doesn't have, 20.
No, he's not doing that again.
But defensively.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that he can bottle things up. Murray, what happened there? I was just, as soon as it gets going, it goes right back the other way.
Gordon had a bad night.
Yes.
Porter hit, 1-3? I think he hit his first three and then missed every subsequent one after that. It was just one of those nights. Just one of those nights for this Denver team.
The Timberwolves go into that with house money. You're playing the defending champion. You forced a game
on
seven.
The road.
You're going on the road.
You're a 4.5-point dog.
The confidence of what they did in the first two games, this series is impossible to figure out, right? Two straight, nobody saw that coming from Minnesota. Then three in a row, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
Then game six, one of the biggest blowouts we've seen in playoff history.
They were up 50 at one point, won by 45.
Not against an 8-seed Atlanta Hawks.
Right.
It's not the Bulls against the Bullets back in the day. That's not what we're talking about here. These are two good teams. This is a defending champion, and they lose by 45.
Have you seen the Luka Garza stat out there? The T-Wolves are unbeaten. They're like 5-6 or 7-0 when Garza plays.
Oh, really?
I mean, obviously he's playing when it's garbage time.
Right.
And they're up big. But when Garza sees the floor, his team's record is, you'd never think or equate the two, right?
But, well, yeah, he's won every game in the playoffs that he has played.
There you go.
He played all four games against Phoenix and the three wins against Denver.
7-0 in this series. Guards, you got to play him.
You got to play him.
In fact, you start him, you sit Cat.
Sorry. Ooh, can you imagine
We found the secret sauce.
More Luka Garza.
More Luka Garza. I can't wait. I mean, I'm not wishing the weekend away by any means. They're too precious. But what a week. PGA. We've got potentially for three game sevens in the NHL, all of them game sixes with 3-2 leads tonight. We'll get a game seven, you would think. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
6 and 9 o'clock tonight for the hockey. Do we get a game seven out of the two games going tonight? Who do you like more, the Bruins to force a game seven or the Lanch? Both at home.
Colorado.
You like Colorado. You really like this Colorado team.
I do. And the Stars had a chance to put them away. I think that they're going to rue the day that they didn't. Giving up that goal, as we talked yesterday, just talked to Mike about it. Half a second left, and you light the lamp to tie the game, and it turned around. They take all the momentum into the locker room and come back, and, well, the rest is history, and we'll watch them tonight. All right, we'll give you, the listener, an opportunity to win some chicken coop. We'll give you the cue to call. It's 15 or so minutes away. Hour two is next. Tom Cakert is going to join us. It's Miller and Condon. We're on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.